Okay, brethren, so let's all turn to the book of Revelation, the Revelation or the Apocalypse of John, of Yohanan, the Apocalypse of John. Now, this John, of course, is not John Yohanan HaMatbil, it's not John the Baptizer, but this is the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John. This is that John. So a little background on the book, okay? It says, the revelation of Yeshua was written by the Apostle Yohanan, the Apostle John. He was in exile on an island called Patmos. It's supposed to be near, a little off, near Turkey, or Turkia, Turkey, the country called Turkey. It was sent to seven actual congregations that existed at that time. So, just want to give you the, let's see. So today there are lots of ideas about the book of Revelations. Some people who don't read it carefully take every single thing literally. Others take it just about everything is figuratively, and some try to fit it in the middle. None of these are correct. We're not trying to find the middle ground. We're not trying to find one extreme or one. No. As Congregation of Elohim, we have to know the truth, what was actually there. We're not trying to find the middle ground. We're not trying to find one extreme or another. But if we pray just as the apostles did, as we saw in Acts chapter 1, Yeshua is not our Elohim, his son, his spirit, does not respect persons. If we cry out sincerely to him, he will teach us the truth. And that's the faith we must have. Okay? It's not that, okay, everybody else, there's so much opinion going on, so we're going to be caught up in the same thing. There's no difference. Yeah, there's no difference between us as human beings. But Elohim is Elohim, and he is holy. There's nothing like him. And if we trust him and don't say in our hearts, well, we'll never know, you know, nobody knows. Once you say that, then we're trusting in human ability. We have to trust in Elohim and not trust in human ability. And remember what our brother Richard read from the book of Clement. Something about being humble. We need to be humble. Humble just doesn't mean being soft-spoken or, you know, walking with our heads down. Humble means knowing that you are created by Elohim and that you're bought with him and that you belong to him, that you love him, and that those around you are your fellow equal brethren. That's humility. And that you are seeking their good and your, as well as your own. You're seeking whatever you have, you wish they had or have more. That's humility. It's not walking with our heads down and speaking at a low, you know, voice. That's not humility. Humility is part of loving Elohim and loving each other. That's humility. So we can understand. Now, one of the things we must be careful not to do before we, that we will not do in this. We may consider what modern day teachers, when I say modern day, anything that's after the apostles, anything that's post-second century teaching, we may consider. But that should not be in any wise our authority in understanding the new covenant, any of Elohim's teachings. Elohim's teachings were explained by the apostles and by their disciples. So what can we do? We need to make sure we understand what did the early believers, the first century up to the second century, what did they believe? And we need to make sure our beliefs are aligned with their beliefs. Because there's a lot of confusion today. Like I said, some people believe one extreme or another or try to meet the middle ground. That will not help us. We need to know the truth. This is what this is about. And I don't know, when it comes to the book of Revelation, all of the truth. I know some of it, but I anticipate learning more of it as we go through, because we won't know everything. But whatever we know, we will know the truth. And that's the journey we're about to embark. And it's not going to happen by me alone. Some of you, I know Brother Richard, I know even Brother Andrew, I'm hoping is on the line, are pretty good in history. And there are others, I'm sure, on the line as well that may not have expressed that recognize history a little bit. All of this will help us understand the book of Revelations as we go along. But we have to test everything, because there are things that are applied to the book of Revelations by modern day people, which may not agree with what the early believers taught. So my position is that I seek the ancient paths, as the scripture says. And the scripture tells us that the faith is based upon the apostles, the prophets, and Yeshua. The apostles, the law, and Yeshua. That's what it says. Not modern day teachers. So we have to be very careful. It's not that modern day teachers will necessarily always be, but always test what the modern day teachers teach with what the earliest teachers up to the second century. I always had that in mind, and I checked and I saw the teachings were changed by the third century. Markedly changed. So up to the second century is relatively safe. So bishops, teachers like Irenaeus and Tertullian, I would encourage you to listen to their teachings. They were bishops, okay, established by the apostles themselves that we just read about in the book of Acts. And they do teach about end times. So if you want to understand what in the end times, listen to their teachings. And if you need help with that, resources, you could email me and I'll send you some resources, audio or in text, that you could listen to and help us in this journey. Okay, so let's begin. Let's cover as much as I can for the remaining few minutes, but that's necessary to say. So let's begin with chapter 1. It says the Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of the anointed Savior, Yeshua the HaMashiach, which Elohim, the power over all, gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his malach, his angel, his heavenly messenger, to his eved, to his servant, Yochanan, to his servant, John, who bore witness to the word of Elohim. Remember the word witness again? John was one of those witnesses. Hallelujah. He was one of those witnesses who bore witness to the word of Elohim and to the testimony of the anointed Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, even to all that he saw. Verse 3. Blessed, ashrei, happy, whole, well, is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. I will cover this reading, this portion only for today, because there's much here. So let's look at the order of authority, as our brother Richard covered a couple of months, maybe a few months ago. The order of authority. It says the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. Where did this revelation, from whom did this revelation come from? Where did Yeshua receive this revelation? Which Elohim, his father, gave him. Who gave Yeshua the revelation? Elohim. How was it? Of course, unity of the Spirit, instant, because there's one Spirit. It's not like it takes any time. What Elohim wills, his Son does. His Son immediately receives. It's just like when you want to pick up your Bible, those of us that are blessed to have motion of the arms of our use of our limbs, give him thanks for that. We just think it. And our arm does it, right? Yeshua and the Spirit are the everlasting arms, again, spoken of. So Elohim just thinks it. His Son and His Spirit does it. So the order of authority is Elohim, the Son, then the Malakim. He said things that must soon, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So now Yeshua received it from the Father. Yeshua commissioned his angel, and the angel sent it to his earthly angel, John. John is an earthly angel. He's a messenger. All of us who are serving Elohim are his co-workers, as our sister read in Isaiah, that those of us who are of the Gentile nations, who serve him, who commit ourselves to him to be his servants, we are his workers. The angels gave John, a worker, a servant of Elohim, this message, who bore witness to the word of Elohim, to the testimony of Yeshua Messiah in all that he saw. And he, that is John now, that's the third body in this, actually the fourth body in this, I should say, now is going to share what he learned with the Kahila, with the, all the congregations, the faith, the seven faithful major congregations of his time. Now, what else? Twice the words show. Let's go back to verse 1. To show to his servants. So that's the who. The who is Elohim, his Son, his angel, and John, and the congregations. The faithful congregations of that time. That's the who. Now, what's the what in this? What's going on? The what is things that must soon take place. Not things that are going to be far away. Soon take place. And again, verse 3. At the end of verse 3, who keep what is written? Why? Verse 3 says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. For the time is near. Okay. What big message can I say here besides the who? The big message is whatever John, much or at least much of what John was shown, what he had to share, were things that were in the near future of the congregations of his time. It's not what people are saying today, as if they're reading the book of Revelation, as if everything is something in our future. Oh my goodness, no. John was writing to the brethren at his time. They were in Jerusalem. Much of them were they were scattered around near Turkey and some in Jerusalem. Of the things soon to happen. When it says soon, it was soon for them. And those things did happen. And as we go along with this, I'm hoping Brother Richard, Brother Andrew, and whoever else will chime in and share some of the historical evidence of these things happening. Okay? So you hear today, people are preaching, and I'm going to end with this. People are preaching, oh, get ready. And I'll say Jesus on purpose, okay? I say the word Jesus on purpose. No disrespect, because there's something called transference of holiness. I will never speak evil of the word Jesus. Not because it of itself is holy, but the one it refers to is holy. It's a misplaced name, but we have to be careful not to be like the others who don't understand the transference of holiness. When something that was not to go into the temple touches anything that was holy, holiness is transferred to it, and it cannot be taken out of the temple. So we have to be careful. So these people say, he's coming soon, he's coming soon. How many years have they been saying this? They say this because they don't understand the scriptures. Because they think a lot of these things where it says soon is talking about when Yeshua returns to establish his kingdom. That's not what he's talking about. I want you to understand. So we should not be so much concerned about his returning soon, but we should be more concerned about being ready to meet him when our time on planet Earth is over. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We have only our lifetime. However long or short it may be, that's the time frame we have to make up our minds to be ready for the kingdom, to be ready so that when we leave this earth, we will receive, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that we will be a part, accounted, and welcomed by him. We will be of that number, as the apostles said in Acts chapter 1. Judas disqualified himself of that number, as we saw in the book of Acts chapter 1, by his wickedness. Let's not disqualify ourselves by being unfaithful, by giving up, by not following apostolic, prophetic, biblical teaching to spend time in prayer and in fellowship with our brethren and in fellowship with our Savior. This is what will keep us so that when our time comes, we will enter the kingdom. So more than preaching, oh, Yeshua is coming soon, we need to be preaching, repent, for you don't know your time. Repent, for you only have your lifetime to make your life right. For it is appointed once for man to die, and after that is the judgment. So that's the message. For Elohim winked at sins at the time of ignorance, but not commands all to repent. So it's here when in the book of Revelation, we're speaking about soon, it's soon for the times of these people. And we will see that as we go forward. And of course, let me quickly say that in the book of Revelations, there are things that are for our future. There are some things that are for our future, but much of what you will be reading, we will be reading about, we will see was for the future of the seven churches and the people that lived around that time. Much of it was towards that great day that is that the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on, preached about, Ezekiel, the great day of his wrath when he would destroy, punish Jerusalem for its wickedness. A second time would punish them. The temple would be destroyed. A lot of what you're going to be reading that's in the book of Revelation, that's what it's about. All right, brethren, so I stop here. And we will continue next Sabbath with the book of Revelations, continuing with John, with chapter 4. Okay, and any comments or questions we will take during the sharing time, which will be about now. So again, these things that the angel of Messiah is about to show to John are things that were to happen soon in his time, not our time. They happened already. There are things that have not yet happened, but we need to find out what has happened and what we are still waiting to happen. We must shod ourselves with a spirit of truth. We must lay aside every false doctrine, because it is important for us that what we get the truth out of this so that we could properly minister the word of Elohim, that we don't do what so many others have done tragically to the destruction of the faith of many and to the ridicule of the world by the world because of false teachings of Yeshua is coming soon, because they don't understand what the scriptures are saying. So thank you very much. So keep these studies in prayer. I don't want it to just be me. Maybe someone else can be inspired to add even more than I can. So please keep these things in prayer as we're embarking the book of Acts and the book of Revelations together, brethren. Thank you. Elohim bless you.